imitation with all of our hearts. Be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
So I kept, could you go to the picture for today? Joshua and Evan, could you go to the picture for today? There you go. I keep looking at this picture for today that Delilah drew for us. And it's so lovely. Isn't it lovely? One person handing another person a gift, sharing love, sharing grace between themselves. And my eyes keep being drawn to it because it's in comparison to so many of the pictures we've seen in the paper this week. This was a very hard week for our country. As, again, like I said earlier, there were three mass shootings. And the pictures you see in the papers are one of pain and hurt and grief and anger. And I'm evil, just evil. And we see all of those pictures, and sometimes it can feel like there's nothing we can do. And what do we do about all of this? And then I look at a picture like this, and I think, that is what we do. In the midst of the sadness and the injustice and all of the hatred that is being spewed and the division in our country right now, we reach out in love. As people are pulling out guns in places and hurting one another, we reach out our hands to pull people up, to give them gifts, to hug and to hold and to care. That is who we are called as Christians. This picture could be taken as something just, you know, lovely, two brothers, maybe it's Christmas, maybe it's a birthday, isn't that nice? But when you know the backstory of this picture, it's even more astonishing. Because Jacob and Esau weren't these loving, wonderful brothers. Jacob and Esau were twins. And when they were born, Esau was born first. And in that day and time, oldest brothers, the eldest son, would basically inherit almost everything and be given the blessing of the family, take on the family name. And Esau got that when he was born. But Jacob, who was favored by his mother through his whole life, and with his mother's help and some different shenanigans, tricked Esau out of his birthright and his blessing. Jacob basically stole Esau's entire future and what should have been his. And then at that point, everybody was so worried that Esau might hurt Jacob that they sent Jacob off to live with Laban, a cousin. Now, last week we heard the story of how Jacob married Laban's daughters, Rachel and Leah, and he stayed there, never really saw Esau again in all of those years. He married Rachel, he married Leah, he had many children. But then he got into it with Laban and couldn't stay with his father-in-law anymore, so he decided to go off, which is that's the story that we have today. In this story, Jacob gathers up all of his children, all of his herds, everything he has, decides that they're going to go live somewhere else. But as they're traveling, he realizes, oh no, I have to go through the land that my brother Esau lives in. And my brother Esau has every good reason to be really mad at me, and this could be kind of dangerous. So I guess he did what every good man of the time would have done. He puts his people in order, from basically, I guess, the least important people in his household to the most important, himself, in the back. He, like, ranks them so that if Esau attacks, right, they're going to be attacked from the front and he'll be safe in the back. He does that and he goes out and he's ready. He's ready for Esau and Esau's people to attack him. But instead, his brother Esau approaches him. It says he falls on his neck, he embraces him, and he kisses him. He forgives. He shows him love and grace and peace in a place that could have been one of violence and hatred and revenge. And I love what Jacob says. He says, "Today in you I have seen the face of God." There are stories of Jacob wrestling with an angel people call God. Jacob has been kind of in God's circles his whole life, but it is here that he says, "I have seen the face of God."
reconciliation that we do see God's face. When have you seen God's face? Certainly you have. I kept thinking about it and how we talk about it. And I was thinking, you know, often we talk about how, oh, we see God in the sunset, a beautiful rainbow. We were just at the beach and you see it in the ocean. You know, it's really beautiful while we were there. And that's awesome. I think God is in the splendor of creation. But when I started thinking about when I really saw God, when I really felt the power of God, it was when I, in my life, have been a complete jerk, totally unlovable, done stuff that maybe I shouldn't have done or wasn't very godly, and yet people kept loving me. And people forgave me. And people gave me second, third, fourth chances. That is when I have really seen the face of God. And my guess is it's not different with you. You have been given that gift of grace through the people you love, through the people who stick with you, even when you're unlovable. That is God's face in the world. God shows God's self to us all the time. Maybe we are just not paying attention, or maybe all these other pictures that are going on in our world seem to crowd out God's face, but God's face is there. In the way we feed people in the food pantry, in the way we make blankets for those around the world, in the way we reach out our hands to immigrants in this community, all of these ways we act against violence and hatred and for love and forgiveness show God's face. And as people of God, as Christians, that is what we are called to. We have been graced with seeing the face of God, but we are also called to be the face of God, to love the unlovable, to reach out our hands to those who are in need, to forgive, to work for justice in this world, because we believe in a God who doesn't think the status quo is okay. The status quo, the way we're living in this country right now, with guns run rampant, racism being spewed, it is not okay. And as Christians, we need to tell a different story. And when the evil ratchets up, and when the hatred, all of those things ratchet up, we ratchet up too. With more goodness, and more kindness, and more forgiveness, and more reconciliation. That is what we are called to as Christians. I am so concerned in the pictures I see in the news. Rallies where people are yelling with vitriol. I saw a picture the other day from a political rally, and there was a little boy's face contorted in hate. That is not who we are called to. And I am guessing that those people call themselves Christian. That face of hatred is not what we are called to as Christians. This is what we are called to. We are called to love. We are called to forgive. We are called to sow kindness and peace. And if it is anything else, it is not of God. God's face shines in this world through love. I know you have seen it. I know you have felt it. And I know you all are capable of showing it yourselves in the world. God has graced you with forgiveness. Even if the people around you don't forgive you, God will. You are all made in the image of God. And that means that God forgives you, shows God's self to you, and wants to be shown to the world through you. So open up your hands and open up your hearts to a world that needs more pictures like this. Be the hands and feet of God to a hurting world. Jacob and Esau didn't know each other for decades, but God didn't keep it that way, because Esau didn't keep it that way. When you hear this story, doesn't it seem like he deserved revenge? He deserved revenge, right, in our world. But he didn't take it, because God does things differently.
And I pray that as Christians,
we all will too, so that God's face may shine in whatever corner of the world.